the DCS director's scathing resignation letter, the tax bill's passage, that plus avoiding government shutdown, Donnelly on the air, and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending December 22nd, 2017.
Ice Miller is proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
This week, DCS Director Mary Beth Bonaventura resigned her post with blistering criticisms for Governor Eric Holcomb on her way out. Bonaventura says the well-being of Hoosier children has been put at risk because of steps taken by Holcomb's administration. Her letter says DCS leadership changes have undermined her work. She also cited cutbacks to provider contracts and aging technology. Bonaventura is credited by many for a quick response to the growing number of children entering the foster care system. That number has swelled with the opioid epidemic. Governor Holcomb sidestepped Bonaventura's criticisms and says his administration helped increase nearly $500 million in funds for DCS this year. Democrats responded quickly to Bonaventura's resignation. House and Senate minority leaders say they want an immediate investigation. This is perhaps the first big test of Governor Holcomb's tenure. Is he meeting it? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike O'Brien, John Schwannis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and political analyst John Ketzenberger. I'm Indiana Public Broadcasting State House reporter Brandon Smith. Ann Delaney, how is Holcomb doing here?
It's obvious he's failed. I mean, to say that the money's been allocated is of no use at all if she's not allowed to spend it. And that's what she's saying has happened, that her hands have been tied about spending the allocation that the General Assembly made. I frankly think since the Republicans control both houses, they ought to do a thorough investigation of what's going on. They recognize that there's a problem in DCS and that children potentially could be dying as a result of the lack of care available, and they allocated additional funds. And now the governor's office is not allowing those funds to be spent. Shame on them. And I think the legislature ought to step in and have hearings on exactly what's going on with this, because, you know, our record with caring for children in the state is abysmal. And what we need to do is have more caseworkers. That's already been documented. They need to be paid and trained more, none of which is happening because they won't allow her to spend the money to do the job they hired her to do. So shame on the governor.
And it's not just money, though, that she, of the criticisms she lobbed at the governor, Governor Holcomb has said, well, we've appropriated all this money. But there are criticisms that go far beyond that, and he won't address those. Is he meeting the questions that need to be answered here?
I think he will. Ultimately, he will. I think you don't want to answer all these questions on a knee jerk and kind of, it's kind of back and forth in the press. So I think they're going to go internally, and they have already made moves, which were part of the rub here. The rub was, Judge Bonaventura was a great advocate for kids, but not a great administrator of a billion-dollar agency, and that's fine. You can do both of those things. You can responsibly fund this agency and have someone who's passionate about protecting children run it. And then they brought in administrators to actually run this billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar agency, and that was the rub. It was, okay, well, $578 million has been either transferred from other agencies or appropriated by the legislature out of the general fund. How should that money be spent? And these agencies especially, you can miss the mark on BMV and you can miss the mark on NDOT, and the consequences are expensive, but they're not life or death. It's even more critical in agencies like FSSA and DCS that these dollars be managed and looked at very, very closely and spent as efficiently, as effectively as possible. You can't just look at your mission and go, well, the budget doesn't matter because the missions are so critical. It requires a heightened management beyond almost any other agency.
Yeah. John, Democrats have called for investigations by the legislature here. Is that what's warranted?
It seems as if some sort of analysis needs to take place beyond simply the suggestion that we have this $450 million to throw at the problem. Because as you suggested, there seems to be a broader dysfunction. And whether it was, I guess you're saying that Mike Pence didn't vet properly and get the right appointee and a good manager.
I think they realized that, and then I think they tried to go and pay, by the paper over the money problem, and appropriate more money to it and move more money
Pence
around.
Didn't do
and
that. Holcomb
add, and
did
then
that.
Also add, right, and then also uh-huh. add staff to try to.
But it sounds as if there's a toxicity yeah. there that goes beyond just the allocation of dollars. It seems, and
that's
why
right.
this I think is potentially damaging. Well, it shows you what I know. I think a week or two back when we were talking about the governor's approval rating, I was saying I was attributing it to his. The perception among Hoosiers that he's an effective manager and makes state government work. So this is damaging. The other problem and why it's potentially even more politically damaging is this is the kind of thing, you're right, it's not the BMV, it's mistakes here are going to be visible.
Right.
And so every time there is a mishap, it will be chronicled. And
right.
if for the next few years, whether it's attributable to this or not, there will be those questions raised, and then the administration will have to answer to them.
If the Holcomb administration didn't think that Judge Bonaventura was the right manager for DCS, a passionate advocate, yes, but not the right manager for a multi-billion-dollar agency, why wasn't a change made a heck of a lot sooner than this resignation letter?
Well, I think in their minds a change was made. The description Mike made of what happened internally, she was left in to head the agency, but others were brought in to manage the budget. I think in the governor's mind, the administration's mind, they had made the changes that they thought were necessary. What happened, obviously, in the meantime was she disagreed with how the money was being allocated, and there you have the rub. And, you know, I think Mike's description of this is accurate and fair, but I think it's also important to remember that when you are talking about children, as you said, John, we're talking about life and death issues here. We're talking about protection issues here. And I think the public wants people to err on the side of the children and worry about the money second.
There's no acceptable error rate.
And the difference here is that when you try to wring every dollar out to get your surplus higher and to pay for the corporate tax
it's
cuts,
it's just like
that
color
they have,
by numbers political strategy.
When you have to do that, you do it at risk, and that's what she's pointing out. They're doing it at risk for children, and that's what's not acceptable.
All right. Well, U.S. Senate and House Republicans passed their landmark tax bill this week, one that cuts rates for most individuals, at least temporarily, and could add trillions to the deficit. Passage was narrow along party lines in the Senate and with 12 Republicans voting no in the House. The measure reduces the corporate rate to around 21% while raising the standard deduction for individual taxpayers. But it also eliminates many popular deductions and potentially explodes the deficit. Democratic U.S. Senator Joe Donnelly once again voted against the measure, drawing fire from his potential Republican opponents in next year's Senate race. Donnelly says the measure doesn't help ensure jobs aren't outsourced and would raise taxes on middle-class Hoosiers in the coming years while creating permanent cuts for the wealthiest Americans. Mike O'Brien, is this tax bill the victory for Hoosiers that Republicans promised?
I think it is, and I think it goes well beyond that, actually. I think there's kind of two parts of this. There's how individuals and are going to benefit in across-the-board rate cuts, doubling the standard deduction, doubling the child credit, maintaining some of the popular deductions like mortgage interest, one. I think, two, the polling stinks on this right now because Democrats have done a very effective job of pointing out how corporations benefit. Republicans, for that reason, have kind of put that at arm's length, but there are real benefits here that corporations do benefit, and they've already said by name, and they've come out publicly this week and said, by moving the corporate income tax rate from 35% to 21%, that brings us in line with other developed countries, from the highest among developed countries. Here's what we're going to do with that money. They're going to increase wages. There are companies that came out just today and said, we're increasing to $15 an hour on our minimum wage, because now we can afford to do that. And we've been untied from this huge tax. The $2.1 trillion in profits that American companies have parked overseas because they don't want to pay the premium tax to bring it back have now said, we're bringing it back. You know, companies like Apple and Microsoft that have, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars sitting overseas are bringing it back. So there's a lot to like in this. There's something for everybody in it. The Democrat rhetoric on this has been so outrageous. It's almost a benefit to Republicans because it can't possibly come true.
Guess again, when 83% of the benefits go to the top 1%. I think most people understand that. When you have Trump up there saying we're not going to benefit and his family is going to save tens of millions of dollars in taxes. So he's lying through his teeth. And people see that. and they understand what's going on. The trickle-down economics that you guys have practiced for the last 30 years have never worked.
It's trickling down.
And they're not it's worked right. You're going to tip better now because you have more money in your pocket? Great.
I'm a pretty good tipper.
They're not anyway. Going to be, it's not going to have the effect that they're talking about. It's going to explode the deficit. And meanwhile, all the individual crumbs that come off the table to individuals expire, where the rest of this stuff, like Trump's tens of millions of dollars, goes on in perpetuity. So it's a disgrace, and I think voters recognize that, and you're never going to be able to sell it.
John Katzenberger, Mike alluded to the polling so far on this has not been good for Republicans. Are they going to be able to turn it around?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on what does happen. I think Mike made reference to the corporations and some of the actions that they've taken. If that continues, if when people fill out their taxes, they do see a benefit, then or they open up their paychecks and they see a few more dollars from the withholding, then that might be beneficial. But I think the expectations have been changed so much, and the Democrats have been so effective in their messaging, that you're going to need to see a pretty large bump in order to overcome your negative perception of what's going on with the law right now. And also, it's important to remember that the benefits for your average wage earner are temporary, and the benefits for corporations are permanent. And I think people understand that. I think, again, Democrats have been very effective in pointing out the disparity in that kind of lawmaking. And finally, I think people really are frustrated with how these things are being done as a process and as a procedure. There was not a single hearing. There was not a single expert who testified. They were writing notes in the margin, which they later had to go back and fix on procedural votes. And that is not a good way to run a democracy.
Obviously, Republicans are going to get out and message and spread their message on why they think this tax bill works. Obviously, we just heard a lot of that from Mike O'Brien. But Ann also pointed out that you have President Trump saying, oh, I'm probably going to lose money because of this bill, which is just, it's impossible that that's true. Does that hurt Republicans as they're trying to get out this message about the bill's good things when you have Democrats who can then say, but President Trump's lying about it?
Well, the bill is certainly not as... doesn't offer the stimulus that the administration claims. I mean, he even said yesterday, we've seen 3% growth. It probably will see in this coming year 4, 5, even 6%. 6% is virtually an impossibility. Might as well have, you know, Martians here orchestrating the whole thing.
We
might. Well, I was just going to say,
just as it's not as rosy as certainly the president has suggested, it's probably not at this point as bleak as Democrats would suggest, because a lot of the most egregious cuts and the biggest impact on the working class were in the House bill. And
You still have the earned income tax credit.
No, but look, it would have been a much harder hit on grad students. It would have been a much harder hit on homeowners. Okay. And everybody's grandfathered in if you're paying mortgage now.
Which, for the first time in the history of this country, you're going to pay taxes on money you don't see. You're going to pay taxes on your state income tax and your real estate tax.
There would have been an immediate with the others. If you were a student, had a student debt, if you had or a homeowner, you would have felt an immediate impact.
What about if you had an earned income tax credit, or if you have Medicare?
I'm not saying it's a great bill. Yeah. It's simply not as bad as the worst bleak warnings, but certainly not as rosy as the positive.
Well, it's not the panacea. There's no question about that.
All right. Well, time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question: who's the biggest winner out of passage of the GOP tax bill? A, Republicans, B, taxpayers, or C, Democrats? Last week's question, Representative Todd Rakitis remarked that he was comfortable with Roy Moore, spelled trouble for him in the 2018 election. 78% say yes, it will. 22% say no. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to wfyi.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Well, Congress is nearing a deal or has reached a deal to extend budget negotiations into the new year and avoid a government shutdown.
With a midnight Friday deadline, lawmakers went down to the wire to reach a short-term spending agreement. The scaled-back version introduced this week did not include major defense spending, but did come with temporary relief for the Children's Health Insurance Program. Congress failed to renew funding for CHIP in recent months, and some states across the country face the possibility of cutting off coverage in the new year without federal action. Efforts in the Senate to include health care reform provisions in the continuing resolution fell short, pushing attempts to stabilize Affordable Care Act marketplaces into the new year.
John Schwanes, the CHIP funding would only go through March. Is that good enough for now, or is that the best we could hope for?
Well, it might have sounded better if we hadn't had our first topic, a discussion on the welfare of children and how really at risk that population is because of what we're seeing in society with the opioid crisis and so forth. You would like to think that kids, that if there's one program that could garner support from both sides of the aisle, it would be this one. Because historically, in fact, it has enjoyed support from both Republicans and Democrats. However, in the hyper-partisan world in which we live now, the new reality, I guess a few months cushion is about what one can expect these days. And for that, kids can be thankful. I mean, is it perfect? No, but again, if you deal with the reality of nearly now 2018 on Capitol Hill, this is probably about as good as it gets.
The CR expires January 19th. Presumably, you aren't able to get something done for CHIP on its own. It's going to be wrapped up likely in the budget discussions. Is that a good thing for this program?
No, it's not. It spells dire circumstances for this program. But until Congress passes a legitimate budget, an appropriation spending, revenue spending bill, it's perpetrating a sham on the American public. To continue to try to govern under these continuing resolutions while making arbitrary decisions about programs, whether it's CHIP or anything else, is a dereliction of duty. And Congress must, at the very least, say how they're going to collect taxes and then what they're going to do with those taxes for the benefit of the American people. And until they get over this, rolling continuing resolution, they are just punting, and it's bad, bad, bad business.
Will this be the last continuing resolution for a while, or are we trapped in a cycle now?
Well, the cycle is the Republicans can't govern. I mean, part of the reason there were continuing resolutions in the past is you had split houses. They have both houses, and they have the presidency, okay? And they cannot govern. They were in the wilderness. They had all these things that they knew were wrong with the system that they were going to fix, and they can't do the most basic things. 84,000 children depend on that program. And stopping and starting like that, they can't take new applications because they don't know the funds are going to be there. They're not going to be able to deliver the quality health care that those children need, and all because the Republicans can't govern.
In the world of politics, the winner always has the harder job, and certainly when you control every level of government, you've got the tougher sort of gig. How bad a look for Republicans is this if they can't get CHIP funding on a more permanent basis in the new year, soon in the new year?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. This CR endless process of funding government for some period of time at a time is some shortened period that's unpredictable is owned by both parties. It goes back. I mean, we've been doing it this way for 10 or 12 years now. And it's terrible. I mean, we would never run state government this way. The legislature would never allow state government to run this way on a budget process like this because it's chaotic and it's unpredictable, and it leaves popular bipartisan programs at risk when a small percentage of members of Congress are constantly putting that much leverage on the decisions to keep government funding for another 10 days or another 20 days or another 3 months or whatever it is.
And there's a potential double whammy here, too, with Medicare funding. With the tax bill, which we just talked about, the good, the bad, the ugly, there are, because of the structure of the $1.5 trillion of budget impact, there will be cuts that will be triggered automatically to Medicare. And let's not forget that I think the number now, 47% of the kids who are born in this country are qualify or aided in some
for Medicaid,
correct. Yeah. But that too is the
right.
issue on
well,
the table.
You
both of the
entire, budget
both of the programs
on the backs of the poor people and the working poor. That's the goal.
All right. Senator Joe Donnelly put up the first radio ad of his reelection campaign this week.
Donnelly's ad, the first from his campaign this year, features Congressman Andre Carson and will run in the Indianapolis market.
Take it from me, Joe Donnelly is looking out for us. Together, we promise to keep fighting for every Hoosier.
The minute-long spot focuses on health care and tax issues, repeatedly trying to make the point Donnelly is on the side of ordinary Hoosiers.
John Katzenberger, is this underwhelming for a first ad of the cycle?
Well, it certainly doesn't make you sit up and take notice. But I think that when you're the incumbent, it's not necessary to do that. I think they've got a campaign strategy, and you start to work that. And you begin by, working slowly and building up to the election. Whether it's successful, it depends on their execution. But there's really not a lot of need. This is my opinion, that Senator Donnelly wouldn't need to spend a lot of his money right now because, one, his opponents keep saying his name over and over and over again. And two, it's way too early to start, laying the lumber, if you will, in the election.
Yeah, is this incumbency allows him to do an ad that's just in the indie market, which is going to be pretty favorable to a Democrat no matter what?
Yeah, it does. You can't underestimate the power of incumbency, especially without a presidential election and so forth, and the likely impact of having a midterm election with a Republican in the office. All of that certainly seems to line up, stack up in Joe Donnelly's favor. But again, this is the theme that I think we're seeing the theme unfold before us. This is the notion of we're looking out for the common man and woman, the working man and woman, the middle class, the working poor, as opposed to what that's the theme. It writes itself with the tax plan. And if, in fact, as the president has suggested, the next item on the agenda is significant entitalement reform, Medicaid and in that case, Medicare and Social, I'm going to get my M's straight in one of these answers, then that does play also into this theme that this is, Potter in Potterville, trying to put the thumb down on the little guy.
Joe Donnelly doesn't need to reach out and grab all of the attention he can get. He's already the U.S. Senator. He's the incumbent. So is this just fine for a first ad?
I think it's very targeted. So I think he has to spend, there's an enthusiasm gap for Joe Donnelly among Democrats right now. He's got low intensity. He's got low poll numbers coming into 2018. It may be a good year for Democrats overall, but here the intensity is really low, particularly among Central Indiana Democrats. So I think part of the strategy here is to take Andre Carson, who is popular among Marion County Democrats, and Joe Donnelly, who they're just kind of okay with, and try to pull his numbers up and be very strategic about it, which is what this is.
Is that what this is? Is this, you got to get Democrats a little more excited about Joe Donnelly?
No, I don't think you have to get them more excited about Joe Donnelly. You do have to encourage them to vote, however, in off-year elections. And I think that's what this is laying the groundwork for doing, to make sure that they come out, because they're dissatisfied with the level of Republican leadership both in the state and the federal government. And to do that, they need to vote with their feet. And that's what this is all about.
Well, a revenue forecast released this week predicts Indiana will collect hundreds of millions of dollars less in taxes than previously expected over the next year and a half.
The new forecast projects the state will bring in nearly $400 million less than expected in the current two-year budget cycle. That's compared to a forecast from April lawmakers used to finalize the state budget. Still, fiscal leaders say it's not time to panic. House Ways and Means Chair Tim Brown says conservative budget practices put the state in a position to absorb the predicted hit without a need for budget cuts. Yet the forecast predicts less money than previously expected in all major tax categories: sales, individual income, corporate income, and gaming.
And Delaney, our legislative leaders here, right, of both parties, right, should we hold off on panic?
Look, this is a precursor of what we're going to see nationally. We were told, just like with daylight savings time, just like with the corporate tax cuts, just like with building up the surplus, the jobs will come. Not only will the jobs come, but the money will come. People's income will go up. They'll spend money. Everything will be up. Guess what? The trickle down doesn't work. It doesn't work in Indiana. Cutting the corporate income tax or corporate taxes does not result in great new jobs and earning potential, because all three levels are down. And that's exactly what's going to happen in Washington.
The timing of this is not great if you're a Republican, because the corporate tax, of all of the taxes that are expected not to perform as well, the corporate tax is by far the worst of them. And you have corporate tax cuts that are going to continue until 2021 in this state. Is that a bad look for Republicans right now?
No, I think there's a couple different reasons for this that were cited by legislative leaders. One of them is interest rates have been so low, corporations have allowed this kind of surplus on their estimated taxes to just kind of roll. And now they're asking for refunds so they can invest the money. That was one of the reasons cited by budget leaders this week. Overall, though, what we hear from State House Democrats every time we have an issue at DCS or we have to go fund roads for the next generation is spend the surplus. We've spent the surplus 3, 4, 5 times in different areas in the last year if you go along with the Democrat plan. This is why you don't do that. So you don't have to panic when you're down $400 million. You can manage your way through it.
So you can use the income from average people to bail out corporations. That's great. Perfect part of the mantra.
We should just let the record show that both parties, whoever's on the out, has called for those kinds of changes.
Stop bringing historical perspective.
Many Republicans have done this. I could point. connect you to the gimmicky news conferences on both sides. Standard operating
Paul
procedure.
Paul Manweiler.
All right. Finally, the self-proclaimed fiscal conservative group Americans for Prosperity of Indiana sent out a release this week in which they compared tax reform to the movie A Christmas Story. The group compared the GOP's tax bill to that Red Ryder BB gun toy the film's main character so desperately wants and says Joe Donnelly is the one telling Hoosiers, "You'll shoot your eye out." But Mike O'Brien, in the movie, the character does, in fact, shoot his eye out with that toy. So is AFP Indiana saying the tax bill will actually be bad for Hoosiers?
Ralphie didn't shoot his eye out. An icicle fell off the garage.
That was
hit
the story
him in
the his mother bought.
He's been very clear about this.
Fake news.
Yeah, should AFP probably rewatch it when it's on a marathon again this Christmas?
I think they had their tongue stuck on the
Take care of those icicles. This is a twofer for the Republicans, I think.
All right, that's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike O'Brien, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and political analyst John Ketzenberger. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at wfyi.org/IWIR. Or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity. I'm Brandon Smith of Indiana Public Broadcasting. Join us next time, because a lot can happen in an Indiana week.
Ice Miller is proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.